Welcome back to the Crossheart Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Welcome back to the Crossheart Off-Road Podcast. I'm here in the mobile studio, which means I'm sitting in my pickup truck while my wife gets her second shot. But I thought I'd share with you some ideas and tips and just some general things I've come up with in the last couple weeks as I help some other people out with some of their projects. And the first one is a little bit of comparison on the Rugged Ridge tire carrier that I put on my TJ, which I think my brother put a similar one on his JK, and the Smitty Built version that goes on a JK. So I kind of talked a few episodes ago, or one or two episodes ago, about the Rugged Ridge, and my main problem was getting the bolts out, because that was, you know, rusty, you know, 8-hour wrestling match. But I have my brother-in-law has a JK. Well, I have two brother-in-laws that have Jeeps, and one of them has JK. He's a 2015 JK, I believe it is. And he put 35s on there, really awesome. But he never got his spare tire back on. He bought all the stuff to do it, to put on a tire carrier. He wanted to go with a simple design, not one that was a big old bumper and a whole nine yards. He's not yet taking it off-road yet, which we're going to work on him on that one. But he went with the Smitty Built version. And so he's had this sit in his garage for, man, a year? It's been sitting there. So I finally said, well, I got mine on. Let's get yours on. So he invited me over for some burgers, and we got to work on this deal. And, you know, kudos to him for getting everything taken off first. And he had almost everything off before I got there, all the stuff we needed to take off. And the first comparison, obviously, TJ's a lot of older technology, so it wasn't as smooth of a deal with the third brake light as his. His was just a simple, you pull the plug, and it slid right off. So obviously the JK, you know, 14 years or newer of technology, they learned how to put a plug on there so you can kind of take things off and on easier instead of cutting a wire, which was basically my only hang up on mine was I need a little bit of help with the wiring to crimp wires, because apparently I don't know how to crimp a wire tight enough. But long story longer, that's what podcasts are all about. Mine went relatively smooth until that point, putting it all together. So, but the Smitty Built version, the only real hang up I have, I'll tell you about my likes and dislikes. My first dislike was the directions. You have all your parts, and you lay them all out, and sometimes you end up with extra parts. And sure enough, I did end up with extra parts of this project. But the directions themselves, obviously a black and white piece of paper, and it looked like a copy of a copy. You know, that looks like it just gets less and less clear what you need to do. And all these parts are black, so you can't really see the detail as much. And I wasn't the only one that felt that way, I believe, because I went on a couple different YouTube channels, YouTube tutorials, you know, guys that do their own YouTube thing, which was cool. I mean, they're very helpful. I use them all the time. But even some of these guys doing it were like, I have no clue what to use these things for. And there's little rubber, like spacers or rubber, I don't know, grommet. I think it's just a safety thing so you don't rip your paint up. And that's where we used them. But it was just confusing where to put these things. And in the design or the directions, they didn't show you where to put them at all. So they had them in there, and they had too many of them. And then they had too many spacers in there, too. They had four instead of the two you actually needed. So that part was kind of like, I don't know, that was confusing to me, to be honest with you. It'd been nice if there probably is, we just didn't find it, if Smitty Built themselves or the company that actually sells the product says, here's our video, watch this 15-minute video of how to put it on. I mean, that makes sense to do. Instead of having any type of paper directions, have tips and tricks or here's how you do it, you know, YouTube video. I mean, it'd make sense to do that, but then there won't be guys like me or other people talking about it, I guess, or doing your own videos. But in the end, that was my only dislike on this product was that. There's a lot of things I did like on it, which was different. I mean, the design is just different than a Rugged Ridge. There's a lot more variability on where you put the spare tire, which means you can move it in and out, up or down. It depends on how big your spare was. And obviously, Tile has a 35s on his JK on a stock bumper. And so we were able to kind of, for the first setting we had it on, we could not get anything on there at all. We were not going to be able to mount the tire. So we moved it out, away from the Jeep, just one more notch out. And I think there's probably like 4 to 6 ways you can go up or down and in or out. I mean, it was great where you could actually put it. So we ended up at the end result. I'll kind of fast forward to the end of this. We had it figured out where which is luck of the draw, to be honest with you, where we had it placed on her sole, you know, just right, and then we closed it. It actually was able to set in that little dip below the bumper that's in the bumper where the tire was. It was able to set right into there, so it basically took a little bit of the weight off of the tailgate, even more so yet. Back to one of my dislikes, though. The rugged ridge, you were able to, the one that's on my TJ, you actually had, the hinges were, I would say, about 6 inches long, the actual hinges on the Jeep. So you had a couple on the body, a couple bolts on the body, then you had a couple bolts on the tailgate itself that were all part of the hinge, okay, if I'm talking right. So it's a spread out, the weight is spread out between those two parts in about 6 to 8 inches, we'll call it, times two, because it's, you know, two different hinges. On the Smittybilt JK version, your hinge is basically about a 2.5 inch area on the body only, and so you don't have like a cross support, is what I'm talking about. It's really just that one part, and then the hinge goes on, and it doesn't, like, just not as supportive. I wasn't as confident with that one as I am with the Rugged Ridge, and you know, you guys can get in the comments and tell me I'm wrong, but I just think the Rugged Ridge was a better style. And I thought, to be honest, I thought Tyler had bought, my brother-in-law had bought the Rugged Ridge. I thought he had the exact one I did. Here, it was a different brand. So it's kind of like, I didn't like that as much, especially when you have a 35 or it's supposed to be up to handle up to 37 inch. I'm like, I don't know if I have confidence in that. Before this all started, Tyler wasn't running a spare at all. And he had a harmonic vibration going on in the back end, probably because he didn't have a spare on at all, and it was just the tailgate itself doing its thing and just vibrating a little bit. Afterwards, he was very pleased. I said, take it out for a spin. He goes, I know we did it right. I go, just take it out for a spin, make sure, shake it down a little bit. So he took off and went for around the block and came back. He goes, hey, the vibration's gone, the noise is gone. He was happy with that. So we kind of got the spare tire on her, and we got the vibration to go away, or the harmonic vibration, whatever he was calling it. The noise, we'll call it noise, went away. So I'm always one to have a spare with you. I mean, I think Jeeps do look cool without a spare, but they look cooler with one. I don't know how to explain it, but I like both ways they look. But, you know, having a spare is a key point. And also, his Jeep didn't have, I don't know if he had it originally either, it didn't have a locking nut for the spare tire. So, you know, Jeeps have this big old spare tire hanging out the back, and if you have a wrench, you could, you know, basically have a free set of tires if you can walk through a car dealer or Jeep dealership and just take all the spares, and that happens. That's why when you go to a Jeep dealership, none of the new Jeeps have a spare tire on there, because they pull those off and stick them in the back and put them on when somebody actually buys it. So, in the end, I suggested he get a spare tire lock, and there is one you can get online that actually uses the key out of the Jeep to make its own keyed lock, and you can lock it on. So I sent that to him. I said, this is what I think you should get. And he goes, nobody's going to steal a tire. I'm like, well, it happens. And you got basically, you know, $300 just hanging off the back of your Jeep at any time somebody could take it. So I suggested, yeah, go ahead and get a lock for that spare tire for yourself. So I don't know if that was, if it wasn't there originally or what, but I suggested it, and I think that's the route he's going to go. So, they talked about using Loctite. I didn't do the Loctite setup. I did what I did in my Jeep, which was anti-seize. I didn't know why they had a Loctite piece on there, but maybe I did it wrong. Maybe you guys in the comments say you should have done it this way, but, you know, I didn't. They also reused a lot of the hardware. So I like having brand, if I'm going to put something new on, I like to have a new hardware. The Rugged Ridge came with all new hardware. And the Smittybilt was 50-50. You got to reuse a lot of the hardware, and didn't like that one so much because one bolt was a little gnarled up, one of the Torx bits, and it had also had rust on it. I suggested he replace that, and then we got it on. I'm like, I don't think you need to. You're never going to take this thing off, but you know, if you ever have problems, that's the one you're going to have problems with. So there's that. But another thing too, I got to be the guy that has the tools. I was pretty excited about this, and I was at Tyler's house, and I realized he didn't have the right tools we needed. So I went back home to get the correct tools, and it wasn't he had the wrong ones, he was just missing the right ones. It was one of those deals where he had them at one time, but his ratchet was going bad, and it was ironically, it was a Craftsman ratchet. So I said, go get that replaced. And then he was missing some extensions we needed, and his drills weren't quite up to what I thought we should have. So I ran home and got my good old-fashioned Ryobi drill and impact driver, And then also I picked up my extensions that I thought we would need to make the life work better. And so that's kind of another thing, another topic too. We couldn't get in there with there was a very narrow piece to get in on the Smitty built setup with the torque. I don't know, was it 40 Torx? 40, 40, oh, it was a 50 Torx to get in there. It was like unrealistic to try to get in there in a square manner. So it was a bad cast design, I would say, because it was hard to get that Torx bit right on there. And I was like, man, I'm not going to get this tight either way because I can't get the Torx. Even with my extensions, trying to bring that out, just wasn't a clean setup for that no matter what. I mean, you'd have to be magical. If you had one of those universal, I don't know what they're called, where you kind of, you know, get around a corner a little bit, that could have been better for you, for your little universal joint to kind of get in there and get that tight. That would be a different direction. That's a tool I don't have. Might have to add it to my repertoire of tools, but I just didn't have it. That would have made life a little bit easier, but still, there wasn't much clearance for the socket head and the Torx bit to get in there. So that was another gripe I had about the Smitty build. The Rugged Ridge was pretty straightforward on that. So, but all in all, I mean, it looks great. We got it on there. It does the function it needs to do. But there's a couple things that, like I said, dislikes I had. But I really like the adjustability where you can put that spare tire. That was really nice compared to mine. Mine just kind of tips up and out. It will hold up to, I want to say a 35. Yeah, 35 on a TJ. And like that. And his, I think, could hold up to a 37 on his JK. So I don't know if I want to do a 37 on that hinge, but it's on there now. So all in all, that's kind of my comparison. These opinions are my own. I'm just saying what the experience I had. If you have different experiences, yeah, I'd love to hear them. But I just had a chance to put a Rugged Ridge on a TJ and a Smitty built on a JK, and that was kind of differences. And it kind of one of the things pet peeve is the directions. That was really frustrating to kind of look at the directions and be like, I don't get what I'm supposed to do here at all. So after a while, I started just pulling stuff out and put it, kind of mocking it up. I'm like, oh, here's how we do it. A little tech tip, using a little bit of painter's tape. We used painter's tape a few different times on this deal. One, we took out these little rubber stoppers that were on the stocked setup. We pulled one out and I put in my RTV, cover the hole up to make sure no water gets in there. So I put RTV over top of the hole, put black painter's tape over top of it. And he goes, well, we're never going to see that. Why don't you just leave the painter's tape there? I'm like, fine by me. We kept it underneath there while it's set, and it's just going to be there forever. And we also use painter's tape when we're trying to hold the little rubber gasket and the spacer on it. So we use painter's tape around that to hold that in. Then we're able to start the bolt. Sometimes having a piece of painter's tape or a piece of tape, scotch tape, kind of helps out. Sometimes those tight situations, you can put a nut on a box end. If you have to kind of reach in somewhere and put a piece of painter's tape over the end so it holds that nut in, then you can reach in there, get that box in on there while you start the bolt. I've done that a few different times too. People who know how to, you know, get in those tight situations with small hands, we don't have to worry about that, but I got some huge mitts. So in the end, I have to kind of be creative with painter's tape at times. So that's kind of the idea behind this episode a little bit, was just kind of that one upgrade right there. But I have a couple of ideas that I've done recently, and I'm suggesting you guys take a peek at it too. But that was my first kind of idea behind the difference between Rugged Ridge and the Smitty build deals. They might be set up a little bit different when you actually get apples to apples, a JK to JK or TJ to TJ, but that was the difference I saw with that one design on there. So the other thing is too, I got my son, he had a new bedroom set. So I took some of the spare pieces, like these two little blocks of wood. This is actually something stupid I'm proud of. These two little blocks of wood were left over and 8 screws. They actually said, throw these out after you pull this little thing out. I'm like, this is dumb. I'm going to keep these screws. I'm going to use those for something else. Well, 5 days later, I'm standing in my garage. I'm like, I want to have a place for my windows because I have these hooks set up for my doors. And I just put the window on top, but you know me, I always forget. I take the window out first, and then I have the door in my hand. I'm like, oh, I gotta kind of push that window out of the way just to get the door on this hook. So what I did is I took these two little blocks of wood, screwed on top of the. I'll put this picture in the Instagram post and Facebook post too. But I screwed them on top of the, right on top where the hooks are for my doors, and I was able to kind of have a little ledge for my windows. The window, the rear window weighs like no pounds, and so this didn't have to be that sturdy. And so I got about a 6-inch, a little 2 6-inch blocks holding the window up, by the way. That way, if I forget to do it in a correct order, that I actually have it ready to go. So it was a fun little thing. It was a free deal for me to do. So sometimes I'm looking around a garage and what can I do for free today to make my life more convenient? that was one of them. I was pretty excited about that little thing. The other big fix I had this week was the hood flutter. And so when I did the fenders, the MCE fenders, I had to get new hood locks for the TJ. So I got them out, you know, because we had to destroy the other ones to get it all taken apart. So I ordered new ones right out of the gates when I knew I needed them. But the new ones I ordered, I don't know, for some reason, that little rubber thing that holds tension down on that hood, it was longer, and that rubber was like a stretchy rubber band. So I had a lot of hood flutter going on. It was driving me nuts. So going on a longer road trip or going, doing anything down a highway, you just have this constant hood flutter going on. So it's starting to drive me nuts. So I did order, one of my guys in my workout group, who's also a Jeeper, Corey Robinson, he said, I ordered those Daystars and they stopped the hood flutter right away. I'm on X amount of years of using them. And that's on his JK. So what I did is I ordered up the Daystar. All they are is the rubber middle piece of your little hood latch. And it is definitely shorter and definitely harder. It also comes with the hardware, so you can do it the right way by screwing them in and out and a little bit of Loctite. So one side I was able to, I just took the latch right off. I used my grinder to grind off the rubber end, and I was able to get right into it and pull it all apart, slap it all together, and I did this all within 5 minutes. Second side won't come off, so I used the drill like they said in the instructions, drill out the end piece and get it off, and I used my grinder to get the other end off. All went back together really well. The only hang up I had was it needed to be 70 degrees to do your initial install, because that stuff is really hard and you want it to be warm. So I stuck it in the sun in my house just so it'd warm up, and it still wasn't pliable enough. So then I just stuck it in a bucket of hot water. My garage is 60 degrees at any moment, I guess. Right now it's nice enough out. But so what I did is just stuck it in a little bit of hot water, let it sit there while I was kind of fiddling around, getting ready to do it. Then it went on. But I'll show you, you take a picture online or take a look online at my pictures I'm going to be posting. But man, it was like, I want to say about a 1/4-inch difference in terms of just resting, even maybe up to a 3/8-inch difference or more. And then they had the stiffness of it was amazing. So you'll see them side by side, but it's a wrestling match to get them locked up tight before they were barely on. I mean, I thought they'd just fall off driving down the road. So that's why I was trying to figure out how I could do this. But these are super tight getting them on. So that I haven't actually driven it yet because the top is off right now and it's raining out currently here in Minnesota. But in the end, though, I know it's not going anywhere because it was hard to get on and there's no gap right now on the front. And so it is definitely tight on the Jeep. So I'm pretty excited about that to get it out for another drive and just to kind of see how it's different from what was before. So in the end, I'm really excited about that piece because it drives me nuts driving on the road and you see your hood fluttering. I mean, if you've never had it before, it kind of drives me nuts. I thought it was because they made the fenders a little bit less sturdy, but I'm pretty sure it's because the hood latches I bought, the rubber piece was just too long. And then as I took them out, I was looking at them, they actually got the hole got a little more oblong even. So they're stretching out even more. So they were too pliable with that rubber. So in the end, the Daystar replacement was the way to go. And if the last 3 years and then they break, whatever, because some people will say that happens, then I'll just order another set, to be honest with you. But I kept the other ones, which is funny because I think some Jeepers do that. So somebody say, God, why do I keep this stuff so long? Why do I keep all my old parts? And every now and again, you need it. But I kept these, throw them in a drawer. It's a small enough part to keep. You never know when you might need it again. So I'm like, well, I got them. They're not broken. They're usable. So if I do break one down the road or somebody needs one, I got it ready to go to kind of hand off. So I'm excited about that hood flutter fix. So that was an easy one. But when we come back, I'm going to talk about a couple more ideas that you might be interested in. But first, here's a short little ad. Hey, gang, if you didn't know, this podcast is brought to you by
Prime Shape Fitness, which is my other business. I am a personal trainer by trade. I've been helping people for over 20 years get in great shape. Some of the listeners on this podcast are also my customers in the fitness world. I do in-person personal training, online personal training, and online group training. So if that's something that interests you, message me and I'll get you in for a free group session or a consultation of your choice for Prime Shape Fitness to help you get in shape. Again, check us out on primeshapefitness.com or just message me right here on this podcast and I'll get a hold of you. Thanks. Hey gang, welcome back. The next topic I wanted to cover is space. No, not space out there, space. I'm talking about garage space. So what's going on in my garage? I have a few different hobbies, you could say. I also race mountain bikes. And so I have a very giant mountain bike because I'm a big fella. And it kind of gets in the way of my shop, you know, with my bench. And it's been bugging me for a while. And when I have my buddies over working on something, they're like, God, get these bikes out of the way. And I have a couple boys and they got their bikes too. And we're down a bike because I just sold one online because they outgrew them. So now they're down just sharing a bike until I get another one. But regardless, I got a couple big mountain bikes sitting in my garage and usually sitting right in front of the bench. And so I was trying to come up with a solution of how to get them up out of the way and just find a place to put them. So I went online and purchased some wall hangers. So now it's seriously 20 bucks for a pair of these, was cheap as all get out. And I got them up and out of the way. I'm pretty excited about that. I also have a work stand, which basically holds your bike in the middle of space. You can take the wheels off, you can work on a sprocket, so you can work on brakes. It just kind of gets the bike out of the way. And it's a nice park tool thing, and if you guys know bikes, park tool kind of has some pretty awesome tools, and kind of gets the bike up in, like I said, in the air. It's what the bike shops use, something very similar in their bike stands when they're working on bikes. So, got it for Father's Day a few years ago, but the problem is when it's folded up, it's like 9 feet long. It's like long, awkward, and when it's up and standing and you're using it, it's really nice, but when it's just in the way, it's literally in the way. So what I used is what you use to hang up a rake or a shovel, I guess you could say. It was left over when I bought this house. There's a bunch of them all in this garage. So I busted one of those out, repurposed it, got that hung up in the middle of two bikes, up and out of the way, in front of my garage. I'm gonna post a few pics. You can look at it on Instagram and Facebook. But I'm really proud of just having this done. What it does is it cleans up in front of the bench, so it's still usable. I'm able to get the bike down and use it when I need to use it, but it's up and out of the way when I'm not. And I'm kind of hype about that. I'm sure you can go in your garage and just look around and be like, I could probably move that, get rid of that, move that, get rid of that. You can sell a lot of stuff online, to be honest with you. It goes quick, especially if it's a bike. I think I might have underpriced the bike that I sold. Years ago, I bought a mountain bike. It was basically brand new. I knew it when it went for, I think, $400. It was a Trek kids mountain bike. And I think online I was seeing them for $275 used. Somebody had this on sale for $100 out in St. Michael. I jumped on it, said I'll be there in 45 minutes. I ran out there and I looked at it, so I'll take it, gave them a $100 bill and walked away laughing because I knew it was worth at least $275. I went through two kids, so my older boy rode it and then the little guy got big enough to ride it and he took off and rode on it for a while. I think I put a new rear tire on it at one point. Changed the handlebars at one point, really minimum stuff. It was a Trek bike, so it's a quality bike. I put it online for sale for $100, and I had three offers in the first hour, and I think I had it sold by the time I got back home from putting on Tyler's spare tire carrier. Had it sold. Guy came out and just handed me $100, said thanks, and walked away with it with his kid. They were hype about it. I'm like, oh, cool, I'm glad, moved it on. So it costed me in the end, $0, except for the repairs here and there and new tires, but worked out pretty well for the two kids. So I'm pretty proud to kind of move that along to somebody else who needs it and wants to use it. But bikes are a hot commodity right now. So if you have a bike taking up space in your garage, you're not using it, or your kid has outgrown it, that's money right there. That's money on two wheels, just ready to go. So bikes are a hot commodity right now. My neighbor now, he works in the bike industry, and he's like, yeah, they can't find bikes. People were spending $500 on bikes are now spending $1,500 because there's no $500 bikes available in the stores. So people are moving up. So you can probably get some good money for some bikes. So there's my top tip or tech tip of the day, whatever you want to call it. But I'm happy about my getting my bikes hung up. I'm still able to use my table grinder. I use that while my bikes are up. I used it to work on my Jeep here this week. So in the end, I'm still able to use everything, even though those bikes are kind of, you know, really up and out of the way. I'm kind of happy about that. So you can probably look around your garage and find a couple things you can do to reorganize and get rid of some junk that you don't have. I know my buddy Wade's always doing that. And every time he puts something on sale online, I always ask him what's available, even though I don't need it. But he's selling stuff left and right too, making some space in his garage, because you just accumulate stuff over the years, and it's just sometimes you got to do a little clean out. The other tip is kind of a funny thing, is how to get Yetis for cheap, or Yeti style mugs for cheap. My wife got one years ago. It was a Caribou coffee one or a Starbucks coffee mug, but they have the worst tops on them. So it's just like a Caribou, you know, or a Caribou, just like a Yeti mug. It has the whole insulated thing, the stainless steel, which I like drinking out of those guys. But man, they are just, the tops on them, the cheap tops kind of kill me. And I actually went and got with the Shields one day, and they're like, hey, you want to sign up for a Shields credit card? I said, sure. You get a free mug or whatever. I'm like, oh, cool, I'll do that and save. It was like a $25 gift card and a mug. I was like, I'll do that. But it came. I since then canceled that card because I don't want an extra credit card. But they had you know, these mugs, and so I picked one up, but it had the cheap top on it. And I ran it for a while, and I usually take, you know, water with me when I'm driving around during the day, but I had the cheap top. So I went on Amazon, and they have replacement tops. I got two for like 10 bucks or 15 bucks, a pair of them, and they're awesome. So just like the Yeti tops, except they're, you know, I think a total I got, how much I spend on them? 15 bucks. I got free, so about 20 bucks total. I got two Yeti style tops with a mug. So in the end, if you got some of those cheap tops that don't work out for you, there's this little tech tip of the day. It's just go on Amazon, buy the replacement tops, and you're set. So that's my other tip. Not really much there. I'm pretty happy about some of the things I did this week with the Jeep and the garage. Looking great. And some of my other tricks and tips I did. I just thought I'd share those ideas with you, and also my rant on the Smitty built piece. But coming up soon, it's going to be top down, doors off weather. So I'm excited. 70 degrees on Monday, 70 degrees next weekend, on Easter weekend. Hope to see you guys out there. If you see me out there rolling in public, give me a wave, or if you want to stop and talk, you know, happy to talk to you. But we'll see you out there, and hopefully we'll be off road again soon. Thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness, your one-stop shop for your fitness needs.